May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. In Jesus we pray. Well, a colleague in ministry nearing retirement recently said something to me that sort of distressed me. Upon looking at his time in ministry coming to an end, he shared that he wanted to have a complete break from anything church-related. He said, "After all, I've been preaching the lectionary for 35 years. There really isn't anything left for me to say." Well, I can tell you that his attitude is light years away from mine, even though I have served more years in ministry than he has. For me, it's the beauty and the elegance of Scripture that allows us a chance to enter into it. And it doesn't make any difference how long we've lived, no matter how many times we've read this story. In the midst of a moment in time, a place in our lives, maybe the specialness of our church family, the work we do, the agonies that sometime are upon us, even the celebrations or milestones that we pass, there's a word, and it's the word. It is the word of God waiting to be mined so that it can speak to us at the moment we hear it. You know, over the years, preachers before me and I have looked often at this Lenten story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And we've looked at it from all kinds of vantage points. And I'm sure that you've heard most of them. I mean, you've heard the aspect of how we've tried to tie it historically to the struggle of the Hebrew people in Egypt and their own temptations, being tempted by self-doubt and often by the fact that God seemed to be quiet and speak only to a few people, and that there was way too much silence between encounters with God. You've likely heard that it bears an uncanny resemblance to our own lives. It sort of shines a light on our experience with God, particularly fragile in the face of temptations. But it also points us then to the reality that we can face down the demons of temptation and come out on the other side whole and complete. Temptation, I think, is something we all know a lot about. It's one of those church words, if you will, that we understand immediately. In fact, some of you may have remembered this story that I shared some years ago. There was an overweight man who decided that it was time to lose a few pounds. And so he went on this new diet, and he was taking it very, very seriously. He even changed the usual way that he drove to his office in order to avoid going by his favorite bakery. One morning, however, he arrived at the office carrying a large sugar-coated coffee cake. Of course, then his office mates chided him, but he just sort of smiled and shrugged his shoulders and said, "Well, you know, what could I do? This is a very special cake. This morning, out of my forced habit, I accidentally drove by my favorite bakery. And there in the window was a tray full of the most delicious looking goodies. And so I felt it was no accident that I just sort of happened to pass by. So I prayed, 'Lord, if you really want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, let me find a place, a parking space, right in front of the bakery.' And sure enough, on the ninth trip around the block, there it was." Or how about this little boy in our video clip? most sound.
If you want, you can do whatever. But if you, I'm going to leave the room for a couple minutes, okay? And if it's still here when I get back, I'll give you 3 marshmallows, okay? And if it's gone, then you just get the 1, okay?
I don't know if you can hear that, but if he doesn't eat the 1, he'll get 3 more. Now, as cute as that video clip is, and perhaps how accurate it is sometimes to temptation, I think it somewhat reflects how we sometimes think of temptation. It's sort of cute and harmless, and we like to say, well, the devil made me do it, and laugh something off. Or we might think, well, we really aren't tempted much these days, certainly not like Jesus was in the wilderness. Perhaps you've heard the story of the fasting and the praying of Jesus for those 40 days and nights, with a call to the importance of allowing ourselves to practice the rigor of fasting, the value of the removal of those things that might tend to tempt us, to distract us from God, so that we might more purely focus ourselves on growing closer to Him. And for those who have been in the church a long time, we can remember this idea of a Lenten discipline, of giving up something for Lent so that we might be better able to focus on what is really important. In equal fashion, we can remember the challenge maybe of not to give up things, but instead of add helpful things to our lives to aid us in growing closer to God, to be a praying community, maybe to be a discipleship, building up one another, or putting ourselves in situations that give us an opportunity to engage and to ask great questions and to let Jesus come closer to ourselves. For instance, what or who do we really worship? What do we really depend upon for our sustenance? With what power do we align ourselves? Do we follow Jesus' lead and remind the tempter that it is God that we follow and that it's God that we depend upon? Or do we succumb to the temptations and find ourselves distracted from the life that God calls to us, of loving and serving one another, our neighbors, and our God with complete abandonment? You know, I've been thinking, and as I sort of gather myself for my 47th year of ordained ministry, unfortunately, this is what I see. Headlines full of wars and rumors of war. Starving children. the insidious, pernicious scourge of disease and pestilence, the ravages of the aging, the life-destroying distraction of drugs, the ever-increasing American culture of taking wonderful words like vision and mission and servanthood and transforming them into the climate of business, not as words of altruism or service to God, but as words to enable them to increase the bottom line. Might I even dare succumb to the temptation to ask an awful question? 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, what difference did it make that Jesus didn't give in to temptation? What about my years of ministry, or the history of our church, or the centuries of Christian tradition? What about all those Lents that we've gone through, all the readings, all the worship, all the special services and the prayers? What difference does it make that Jesus didn't give in? Now, I know that my bias of Lent as a time of intense reflection comes through, a time of affirmation and commitment to action. And I believe that if Lent does not yield in us that same resolve of Christ's of not giving in, not just through our words, but also our deeds, how easy then it remains for us to give in to the temptation to set aside Lent. Frankly, it's easier to come to one another or to come to another Lent with its story of temptation and simply collapse under the weight of its weariness. Our times that, or stories that make us wonder if really this new age that Jesus promised us as we look at the stories in the gospel will ever really come. And yet in this wondering, in the moment of questioning, is this really what there is? Do we find cause to utter the words, "I guess it doesn't make a difference"? And yet I believe it is, if we do get to that point, it is precisely that this moment of Jesus in the wilderness helps us deal with the temptation of the adversary who wants to tempt us, who wants to get us to say it didn't make a difference. And it helps us to remember that it's not about us, it's not about our gains or losses, but the truth is this, that Jesus standing firm against temptation is a reminder that we too can focus our lives and our faith on God. It means that when we face the devilish temptations of our times, we have a God who through His Son Jesus Christ stared down those temptations and defeated them. And when we're challenged, when we face the difficulties of our own lives, when we are so tempted to go against what God says, we have an inner strength that enables us to resist the temptation to make those God-pleasing choices we're called to make. You see, it does make a difference that Jesus did not give in. Not because the challenges that face us in our lives have been completely overcome, but we have a promise that perhaps this day, or maybe tomorrow, or perhaps in a time far away, that in our souls, in our lives, God will reign and His presence will be completed, and things will be the way God intended them to be. And so while we hope and we speculate about its coming, sooner or later our Lenten journey calls us to the part that we are going to play with Jesus in not giving in. His story helps us in turning away from temptations, rebuffing the call to abandon our hope for some sort of worldly perception that things there are better than God, or that the world really is not in God's hands, but in the hands of Satan. But it does make a difference to know that Jesus didn't give in to the temptations laid before him. You know, for all of us must really begin to realize that our hope is not in the things of the world, but our hope is in Christ, who enables us to put our feet one in front of the other, to follow Christ along the way to the cross. It is the fact that he did not give up that enables us to take that journey to live our lives for others first, to give all that we have for this world, to turn the other cheek, to care for the steady stream of widows and orphans, to stop wandering aimlessly, but rather to live life with a purpose of working for God, for justice and mercy. Resisting temptation enables us to walk with humility, to live in peace with creation, and to understand that we, in turn, are partners with God, who wishes to bring to fruition that peace in Christ that's been promised. You know, so when the feelings of being tired or worn down come out, perhaps it's time at a time like that for me to maybe double down in my efforts and double down in my work. You know, for who knows whether it will be me or you or someone else whose life we touch who will be at the tipping point and we are able to stop them from experiencing the destruction of that temptation and to understand the fulfillment of the promise that God has given to us so long ago. The famous basketball coach Jim Valvano's saying was, "Never give up, never give up." In a sense, we say today, never give in. That we will not give in, we will not give in to what Satan tries to do to us, but that we can go together wherever Christ leads us during this Lenten season, never giving in, never letting that temptation destroy us, and joining the Creator as we follow Christ and experience His Spirit as never before, so that we might completely follow the one who calls us to be His followers, to be the ones who are His presence in the world. May God bless us all as we share our Lenten journey together. Amen.